The Cubs and Dodgers gave us a fantastic matchup last night while Kyle Schwarber and Manny Machado hit record-setting home runs. We'll break that down and more on this episode of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch, your home for all your updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Christian Rau. You can follow him on Twitter at Christian S. Rau, R-A-U-H. And Christian, tons of action last night. Just about a full slate of games. Lots of stuff to get to. But to start off, we saw some records set last night in some of these games. And the first one, I think, belongs to Philadelphia's Kyle Schwarber.
Evolving pitcher. And a high fly ball to deep right center field. The Phillies have the lead. And Kyle Schwarber has the Major League season record for leadoff home runs. He now has 14. It is 1-0 Phillies.
What else can you...
You heard him right there. Kyle Schwarber hit his 14th leadoff home run of the season, taking sole possession of first place for leadoff homers in a season. He passed Alfonso Soriano, who had 13. And, okay, so interesting game. We have more to get to from this game. 9-4 victory for Philadelphia over the Tampa Bay Rays. But Kyle, like, is this the optimal version of Kyle Schwarber? He's batting close to 250, leading off. He's not a prototypical leadoff hitter, but like, is this the best version of Kyle Schwarber we could possibly ever get?
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting 14 leadoff home runs, who cares if he's typical or not? It's working. And I mean, you don't usually see, you know, big guys like that in leadoff spot, but they're finding a way to make it happen, and he's changing the game for that. But yeah, this is absolutely what you need from Kyle Schwarber. I mean, 14 of them being and the leadoff, as the leadoff home run, is really impressive, but he also has 35 on the season. That's really impressive too. I don't think many people are talking about how good Kyle Schwarber's season is. And what's crazy, Lindsey, is he's had multiple small slumps as well, like 7-8 games. I don't know if you consider that small, but in the large scheme of things, 7-8 game little slumps, and he's still finding a way to almost hit 40 home runs on the year. So gotta love what you're seeing from Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, his home run totals the last few years, 46, 47, 35 this year. But his batting averages in those seasons, 22, he was an all-star, he batted 218. 23, he batted 197. So now, a little bit less on the home runs. I think he's on pace to probably come in just around 40, but he's batting 251 and leads the National League in walks with 98. It feels like, rather than have a guy like, look at 22, all-star year, hits 46 homers, but leads baseball in strikeouts with 200 and bats 218, you'd much rather have this version of Kyle Schwarber, who leads the National League in walks. He still has a lot of strikeouts, 176, but not nearly what he had. He had 215 last year, right? And could still hit 40 homers. You trade 4 or 5 home runs for 40 points in batting average. That feels absolutely like, yes, that is what you want. And that is a worthwhile trade-off there. And it was an interesting game all around. We had a situation. Nick Castellanos got hit by a pitch. And this happens
on the year. Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. Dusty Wathan comes over with Brandon Marsh to move Harper away. The bullpen's clear as well.
I can tell you right now, there is no way that sinker in the hip was intentional, because there's no way, as a pitcher, I am hitting a guy with Bryce Harper on second base behind me. I can't see what Bryce Harper's doing. There is a 0% chance I am intentionally throwing at somebody, but it just kind of shows, like, one, it's a long season. These guys are tired. They're worn out. They're tired of getting hit. They're tired of the grind and everything. And also, it kind of goes back to that thing we talked about with Whit Merrifield. Guys are getting hit a lot, and it feels like something has to change. I'm really curious what comes out of that.
Yeah, Castellanos had a really funny post-game conference, speaking of about this hit-by-pitch. He said that the pitcher was just mad that his ERA went up, and he compared it to taking dessert away from his two-year-old kid. And I thought that was just absolutely hilarious, just, you know, throwing, you know, bashing back and forth, and kind of just being sour on each side of the ball here. I was surprised, and I've watched this. I watched this replay a few times, and I wasn't even paying attention to the hit by pitch after the first time. I was watching Harper, because watching Harper come up to the pitcher back behind from second base.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen Bryce Harper throw some swings at some pitchers after hit by pitches. I was wondering if he was ready to do that. He looked pretty heated.
Castellanos is two or three steps on the grass, and Harper's already on the pitcher's mound,
yeah.
Helmet off, ready to go. And it was, you know, you see somebody ran. I think a third baseman ran in and like grabbed him around the neck and tried to like pull him away and separate those guys. And obviously the bullpen's empty and all that. It was, I don't know if we'll see any suspensions or anything. MLB hasn't said as of this morning, but either way, Philly can definitely afford to lose a guy or two for a game or two. Not a huge deal. They have a pretty, feels like, impeachable lead in the East. They are 87-58. They actually right now have a one game advantage on the best record in the National League over the Dodgers at 86-59. And actually it's the best record in baseball. It is the best record in baseball. The Guardians and Yankees both are 83-62. So they had the best record in baseball. They're the number one seed as of right now. If they lose a guy for a game or two, they're going to be fine.
It seemed pretty mild though. So I'd be surprised if there was any type of suspensions.
Yeah, but more records that were set. The San Diego Padres and Manny Machado had a chance at home to take on the Seattle Mariners. They really took it to George Kirby, too. But Machado did this.
Machado hits one to right center field. Back goes Rodriguez, looking up! Manny Machado stands alone as the Padres' all-time home run leader! Man, oh man, oh Manny, you are number one in Padres history.
Manny Machado got his 164th homer as a member of the San Diego Padres. He's been there six seasons now, in their 7-3 victory over the Mariners. Passed Nate Colbert, who was one of the members of the very first Padres team. I believe that was 69, the inaugural Padres team. Passed him. And it's funny because Machado has never been just insanely producing home runs, right? Like, the single season home run record for the Padres is 50. Greg Vaughn in 1998. The top 14 spots on the single season home run leaderboard for the Padres, he doesn't have any of the top 14 spots, but he's just the third Padre to hit 25 or more home runs in four straight years. Joins Ken Caminiti and Adrian Gonzalez. When we look back, are we going to say that Manny is a borderline Hall of Famer? Does he have a case for the Hall of Fame? Or is this something where he's pretty solidly in the Hall of Very Good?
I think he has a case because his defense is pretty immaculate as well. And he's won Golden Gloves. When you look at his numbers, I think there's a case. But I think because of some of the other really dominant third basemans around his time in his career that we're watching right now, that I think it might be hard to differentiate between all of them. And I think he winds up just missing Cooperstown. But I do think that we will see him receive some votes for the first couple seasons. I don't think he'll be one and done on the ballot, but right. I don't think he'll ever reach that 75% threshold.
Yeah. Kind of looking at this, I mean, I think we don't realize he's 31 years old. This is his 13th season. He debuted at age 19 in 2012 with Baltimore. And over his 13 years, 339 homers, a career 279 batting average. He has six All-Star selections, two Gold Gloves, a Silver Slugger, and has finished in the MVP voting six times, including four top five finishes. He's finished second, third, fourth, and fifth. He's obviously never won it, but he's come in rather close. And he's one of those guys, he's just always kind of been around. And so I don't necessarily think that we always realize maybe how good that he's been. I do agree with you. I think he ends up, he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, but he's on the ballot for a couple seasons and there's a spirited debate. It just feels like his peak hasn't necessarily been good enough. But when you look at the Jaws Hall of Fame kind of metric system, his 7-year peak of WAR is 42.4. The average Hall of Fame third baseman, which it says there's 17 in there, the average Hall of Fame third baseman, their 7-year peak is 43.3 WAR. So he's within less than one WAR of the average Hall of Famer for a 7-year peak. Now, career-wise, he's still 12 behind the average Hall of Famer, so longevity's there. But WAR per 162, his average is over the average third baseman in the Hall of Fame. I think once he retires, he's going to probably have a little bit better chance than we realize. But I think I agree with you. He's going to end up being, he'll be on the ballot for 3, 4, 5 years, but I don't think he'll ever get enough to actually be in.
He's got 339 home runs on his career. He's an 826 OPS batter. If that OPS can move up just slightly, like I'm talking maybe 840, Lindsay, and he reaches 400 home runs, I think he has an actual more solid chance than that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. All right, sticking with a West Coast team there, the Los Angeles Dodgers took on the Chicago Cubs. 6-3 victory for the Cubs, and got a lot of storylines out of this game. I think the first one is we saw a matchup, I think our first matchup, of two of the, I guess, three most prominent Japanese pitchers in baseball right now. Yoshinobu Yamamoto took on Shota Imanaga. Imanaga technically got the better of him. 7 innings pitched, 7 hits, 3 runs, no walks to 4 strikeouts. But Yamamoto, making his first start back since the rotator cuff injury, was restricted to just around 60 pitches. He threw 59. But in those 59 pitches in 4 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, no walks to 8 strikeouts. He had 11 whiffs in his 59 pitches and a 41% CSW. So before we get into the other big storyline from this game, do you, after seeing Yamamoto go 4 innings and look dominant doing it, do you feel better about the Dodgers rotation in the postseason, knowing that you feels like you at least have Yamamoto and Flaherty for games 1 and 2?
Yeah, I feel a lot more confident about 1 and 2. 3 is still the big question mark because of the injuries to Kershaw, Glasnow, Gavin Stone. I mean, it sounds like the list is just growing. But the confidence of 1 and 2 is definitely there now, for sure. And that might be enough, Lindsay, for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't know if any other team could be okay in that situation. But the offense of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and quite frankly, as of late, the bullpen of the Dodgers has been pretty impressive. So maybe if you have Flaherty and Yamamoto doing their thing, that might be enough. We've mentioned it a few times on this show, 66% of your games is going to get you a World Series victory. So if they can continue to do what they're doing between Jack Flaherty and Yamamoto and just get some kind of production from a third starter, I mean, it's hard not to favor the Dodgers right now.
Yeah, I do feel good too about just the options in this bullpen for the Dodgers as well. You look what happened yesterday. Ryan Brashear goes an inning. Blake Treinen goes an inning. Alex Vezia goes an inning. Evan Phillips took the loss and a blown save. 2 hits in the 8th inning. 4 runs. None of them were earned because the Dodgers committed 3 defensive errors in the inning. But they had Bruce Delgraderol pitch a scoreless 9th. And then they didn't even use Michael Kopech. And so it feels like you don't have to necessarily have one of these injured starters be able to go 7 innings. You just have to do like this. You can get him through 4, you know, get him into the lineup the second time, get past some of the top of the opposing lineup, and you can go to your bullpen and you have enough guys where you can get it done. The flip side of this for the Cubs, Pete Crow Armstrong. Oh my goodness. He was the top prospect in baseball for a while. He took him a while to get used to the major leagues. He goes 2 for 4 with 2 RBI on the offensive side, including a 2-out RBI, which is always, you know, clutch there. Had 2 fantastic sliding catches, but he saved the best for the final play of the game.
Payoff pitch. High fly ball out towards right center field. Pete Crow Armstrong at the wall, jumps, and he made the catch. Oh, baby. Pete Crow Armstrong steals a homer from Max Muncy, and that is how this one comes to an end.
Impressive.
Just, I mean, Max Muncy has to be mad. Runner on third, 3-2 count. Literally probably the final pitch of the game. And he loses a home run to Pete Crow Armstrong, making his third awesome defensive play of the game. Kind of a different question, I think, than you were expecting here. This is not another rundown. Are we in like a golden age of amazing National League center fielders right now? And you look at Brenton Doyle, you look at, I mean, just all these different guys, Jake Cave, Michael Harris, Pete Crow Armstrong, that are all just amazing defensively. Is this like a golden age of outfield defense, or like are the new greatest group of outfield center fielders you've seen in a while?
Yeah, and you didn't even mention the guy that's like leading the league in OAA and Jacob Young from the Washington Nationals. And then you got Michael Ciani from the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah, we are definitely in a huge age, a golden age of center field defense. And you just, as you mentioned, the National League. There's a few in the American League, but the National League has really taken a step forward. I think it's safe to say, Lindsay, that the Chicago Cubs have won the Javi Baez trade. I think it's safe to close the book on that one.
Are we sure? We can go ahead and say yes, they won the Javi Baez trade?
I think it's time. Yeah, I think it's time we can have that conversation.
Oh man, it's going to be a lot of fun. Like as a baseball nerd, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch National League baseball for the next few seasons. Switching over to the American League real quick. The New York Yankees take on the Kansas City Royals. Yankees made some lineup changes. They called up Jason Dominguez. They put Anthony Volpe in the nine hole. And you know what? Didn't matter. Seth Lugo shuts him down. It's a 5-0 Kansas City Royals victory. Lugo goes 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts. The Yankees finish the game with only 3 hits, one from Austin Wells, who is now the cleanup hitter, catcher Austin Wells, and 2 from leadoff man Gleyber Torres. Takeaways here. 1, on the Yankees, is this the most ideal lineup configuration, having Dominguez in left, DH and Stanton, Chisholm at third base, but Gleyber Torres leading off? Or is there a better way to configure this lineup?
Yeah, there's definitely some interesting. So first, I'm glad we're talking about the lineup, because it's about time that we see these people in there. We have Dominguez in there. Verdugo is not in the starting lineup. Like, this is something we've screamed about on this show for quite some time now. I do think the order is a little different. I'm with you on the cleanup spot. I don't think that Wells should be the cleanup hitter, especially when you have guys like Soto and Judge and Stanton. And quite frankly, Rizzo, if he can figure it out as well, especially if they're at home at Yankee Stadium. And you also kind of alluded to that leadoff spot, Lindsay. They haven't done it yet, but Jazz Chisholm should be their leadoff hitter. We saw it in Miami, and it worked so well in Miami. He just charges. He sets up the game perfectly. And we talked about at the very beginning of this show how the leadoff hitter is so important. We just saw someone break a record for leadoff homers. Well, Jazz Chisholm can do that too. He's electric when he comes out to the stadium. So I think that needs to happen. So I like the people that are in the lineup, but then it needs to be moved around a little bit. But I think that you might see that over the next couple of days.
Yeah. My hot take is I'm fine with Wells batting fourth and Stanton batting fifth. Wells has a better OPS than Stanton does. Stanton has too much swing and miss. There's only batting 233. I'm fine if Wells, with his 252 batting average, is batting cleanup. I do agree, though, that leadoff needs to be Jazz Chisholm. He talked about this in Miami, that like he just, it's a different mentality, and he reaches like a new level when he leads off. And so I do think that the added speed element, he's got power, he's got speed, the ability to get on base. I think that Jazz needs to be the leadoff hitter for New York. Move Gleyber Torres back down if you need to. I do think I'd rather have Soto at second than fourth, simply because I want to get him as many plate appearances as possible. Right. If he had a little bit better speed, I consider leading him off like Kyle Schwarber does, I guess. But, you know, I'm fine if you do Chisholm, Soto, Judge, Wells, Stanton. I think that's one of the better one through fives in baseball. And your weak link in there is obviously Stanton at five. But I do agree you need to put Chisholm leadoff. I think that's the biggest change the Yankees could make from an offensive perspective. And then defensively, this is what we wanted, right? We didn't want Verdugo playing every day. We want Dominguez in the lineup. He went over three yesterday. He is just back to the majors finally. Give him some time to reacclimate. But either way, the Yankees.
Yeah. If you look at Jess Chisholm's stats leading off the season, batting first, he's got 238 plate appearances. He has a 725 OPS. Now, the Yankees haven't done that. That's all in Miami. The Yankees haven't done that yet this season. The Yankees have put in either fifth, sixth, seventh, and those numbers are good. Let's be honest here. Jess Chisholm has been fantastic for the Yankees, no matter where they've placed him. You know, batting fifth, he's a 763 OPS. Batting sixth, he has a 906 OPS. Batting seventh, he's got a 1.345 OPS. Those are very small sample sizes.
I'm about to say. Sample sizes have to be small there, yeah.
Right, they definitely are. So definitely keep that in consideration. However, he's on a pace. I think at one point in time, I don't know where it is now, but at one point in time, he was on a pace for like a 40-40 at least for 162 if you were going to have him at the Yankees the entire time. Imagine if you had that at the leadoff spot, getting him on base before Aaron Judge, before Stanton, before Wells, before Soto. So I think you got to give it a shot right now, especially if you're looking for a nice recharge after getting blanked by Lugo. Throw Jazz Chisholm in the leadoff spot. See what happens this weekend.
Yeah. All right. Let's hop into quick pitch real quick. We got to kind of, you know, get a little bit quicker in this one here. Detroit Tigers, 11-0 winners over the Colorado Rockies. Big highlight here is Keider Montero. Complete game, gets the Maddox. Three-hit shutout on just 96 pitches, no walks, five strikeouts. But the offense looks good, too. Parker Meadows leading off, 2-for-3, 3 runs, 3 RBI. Riley Green, 2-for-3, two runs, 3 RBI. Matt Vierling at the three-hole, 2-for-4, 2 RBI and a run. Colt Keith goes 2-for-4. Is the young core of the Detroit Tigers ready for a legitimate postseason run in 2025?
Yes, 100%. And they might find a way to sneak in 2024. I don't know if that's the case, though, because Kansas City's finally starting to wake up and Minnesota brought the rally sausage back. But the Detroit Tigers, I think, will definitely be a team to be considered to be not only a playoff team, but a division contender in 2025.
They are the first team out of the wild card right now, 3 games back of Minnesota, 5.5 of the Royals. Okay, Justin Verlander, is he an option in the rotation for the Astros in the postseason?
It's a tough question for me to answer. I'm a big Justin Verlander guy, and obviously what he's done in the postseason his entire career has been huge. But since his return, he's not been the same Justin Verlander. And let's be honest, Lindsay, we knew this day was going to come eventually. We thought it was going to happen a few years ago when he returned from Tommy John. He had that nice resurgent in his career.
And
he
had a real,
right, exactly. So, I mean, whatever you get from him now is you're playing with house money, in my opinion. But he's got a 5.30 ERA so far this season. It's not the best thing that you can expect from a guy like Justin Verlander. Mm-hmm. And when you look at some of the other younger pitchers in this rotation, Hunter Brown, Spencer Arnett, obviously Framber Valdez, I don't know if Justin Verlander is an option for you right now. I don't know if it should be an option. Maybe you consider moving him in a long relief role, kind of like how Patrick Corbin was in the 2019 World Series for the Nationals, and put him in the bullpen. Could be a good idea.
That's a good comp there. When you take the reputations out of it, and I look right now at the 6 rotation options for the Astros based on this year's performance, Framber Valdez is your game one starter. Easily. I think Yusei Kikuchi is your number two, which means you get two Kikuchi. Lefties. Yeah, you get two lefties to open the thing. And then after that, you can decide between Ronel Blanco, Spencer Arrighetti, Hunter Brown. But I think you take any one of those three before you start Verlander in a playoff game based solely on their production this year. Now, obviously, Verlander has the experience. Verlander has the reputation. Maybe you plan to piggyback him and one of those young guys, maybe like Ronel Blanco, who has workload concerns this year. Maybe that's a back-to-back kind of setup thing there. But either way, yeah, it feels like just based solely off of production, he's not one of your top three in the rotation this year. But I do think he ends up starting the game simply because he's done it so many times and he has the experience over this trio of young guys. Arrighetti's 24, Brown's 26. He does have a playoff run under his belt. And Blanco is 31, but is still new to the majors and I think will be new to the postseason. So
all six of those pitchers should be on the postseason roster, though. All six that you mentioned, whether you put them in the bullpen or not, because you'll give you the option to only let Verlander go once through the order, maybe twice, maybe one and a half, whatever you want to do, and not be in a pickle, not be in a tough spot for the rest of the series or for an entire game. So I think all six find a way on the postseason roster, though.
Yeah, they have two waiver claims in their bullpen. Caleb Ort and Nick Hernandez were both picked up over the summer. Ort was from the Orioles in May, and I think Hernandez was the Padres in like June. And I could see you take four starters, the other two guys, you throw them in the pen to replace those two guys. Still gives you two lefties in the pen with Caleb Ferguson and Josh Hader. And then obviously you've got Abreu and Presley and Scott and Neris for your actual high leverage stuff. You've got these two starters who can come out and shove. And yeah, it's definitely interesting there.
And okay. It sounds like the inevitable's coming, Lindsay. That's what it sounds like.
The Houston Astros are inevitable, guys. Just get used to it. They're going to be in the ALCS somehow again. Just get used to it. Just get ready for it now. Okay. Saw some injury concerns yesterday. Kyle Schwarber did leave that Phillies Rays game with an elbow issue when he suffered diving back into first base. Said after the game, he's going to be fine. He said he wasn't hurting, but he went to go swing in the cage and he couldn't really swing that well. Got checked out by the trainer. They gave him some treatment. It felt a little bit better, but he still couldn't swing that well. So they took him out of the game. He expects to be fine. So no really concerns there. Anthony Rendon went to the injured list again. It's a day that ends in Y, so okay. And then Ronaldo Lopez, the Atlanta Braves, their offense completely woke up last night. They shut out the Nationals 12-0. They had 15 hits. Everybody but one in the lineup, in the starting lineup, got a hit in that game. But Lopez left after one inning with what they called right shoulder tightness. His velocity was down about 3.5 miles an hour from his season average. He said after the game, he was in good spirits. He felt good. They were going to give him an MRI this morning just to be sure. But how serious is losing Ronaldo Lopez for the Atlanta Braves as they are tied with the Mets for the final postseason spot in the National League?
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. And the Braves have been dealing with so many injuries all season long. Eventually, you're going to have that last straw on the camel's back that's just going to break this team. And obviously, it's not a good time to have one of your best starting pitchers go down with an injury, potentially move to the injured list. We're going to find out more this afternoon what happens with that. But yeah, it's not good whatsoever. The offense finally woke up yesterday. That's something that's been a concern for the last, 2 weeks, Lindsay, but adding Lopez potentially to an injured list, or at least knowing that he might miss a start or two, it's just not good timing.
Yeah. This has been First Pitch for Wednesday, September 11th. Do us a favor. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, leave us a comment down below, subscribe to the channel, turn on the notification bell, so you know when we drop a new episode. But until next time, this has been First Pitch.